For over 10 years, we've been bringing you killer metal music and frank discussions about heavy metal. Wait, who the hell is Frank? You are tuned into MSR Cast, brought to you by Mainstream Resistance. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek and Sean the Metal Pigeon. Keep it metal.
We'll be right back. Welcome, everyone, to episode number 235 of MSRcast, your metal podcast. I am one of your hosts. I am Carrie the Metal Geek, along with
Sean the Metal Pigeon.
What's up, Sean? How are you, sir?
Hanging in there, trying to hang in there.
That's right. We are virtually recording. This is the first time we've ever done this. We've never done a Skype episode before.
Yeah.
But we are practicing social distancing and quarantining and all that kind of stuff. Speaking of, I got my homemade quarantini, if that's what you want to call it.
Yeah.
Whiskey and Coke, it's mine. gets me through.
I just have ice water.
That'll work too. Mine'll turn into ice water after a while.
So what you been up to?
Just staying at home, listening to music, watching TV, playing video games, working from home.
Yeah.
I've luckily been able to – I've actually put in more time working at home these past few weeks than I have actually going into the office. So, because it's like you get up, you're like, I got a project to get done. You start working on it. I don't take a lunch break. I just work through it.
Right.
And it's like, oh, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock at night. I should probably stop now, right?
Yeah.
But we've had a big project to work on, so that's pretty much out of the way. And it's just been jamming to new music, man. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I think the lockdown really affected me. It made it hard for me to even think about metal. I remember the first few days I was just so discombobulated.
That's okay.
And I went back towards like comfort things. Like I would listen to like a lot of Hammerfall and Sabaton, that kind of thing.
And I've listened to a lot of Hammerfall. They replayed the Vakken performance the other day on their Facebook page.
Yeah.
I watched that. I'm like, oh, that's really good.
They did
the Game of Thrones cover song with like the. They had that weird – those guys playing those weird instruments. I don't know what they were. Key something. They're not keytars, but they're very, very strange.
Yeah, they're going to do something where it's like every Saturday they're going to have a different show.
Oh, yeah?
Up, like they're going to air it live or something like
that's
that. That's
awesome.
Going to be pretty cool. Yeah.
I've been partaking in that. I watched the Enslaved live performance they did last week, which was really, really cool. Tomorrow I probably will be doing this is the Omnium Gathering live performance.
Yeah.
So they're just trying to earn a little bit of money. And I was able to order the Insomnium Gathering tour shirt, the canceled tour shirt from them.
Oh, yeah. I think I saw something about that.
Waiting for that to come in, which is cool. And my wife ordered a package from Bortnagar. She got the tour shirt and the hoodie. So she's finally got a Bortnagar hoodie.
Yeah.
It's the best hoodie of the year.
Yeah.
So she's probably finally ready to retire her Nevermore hoodie, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. And that reminds me, because in 2 days, we would have been going to that Insomnium show.
I know. There were a lot of concerts this week that we would have been going to.
Yeah, Insomnium, and then Monday, we would have gone to Bortnagar, and then next Saturday, we would have been at Hell's Heroes. And,
that's right.
And just the fact that this wiped out all that stuff is just sort of like, I mean, to me, it's low on the list of concerns right now, but
yes.
It's just, it is a punch.
It still
hurts.
It still hurts.
Yeah.
I know the Symphony X Firewind show just got moved to next year. The whole tour got moved. In Primal Fear, they haven't said if it's all three bands coming back.
Hellfest got moved to next year.
Hellfest, that's a huge festival. That's crazy. I mean, my work got moved to next year, so we got canceled this year. I mean, this is not a joke. This is very serious. So we've said it before. Please stay home. Help fight the curve. You know, wash your hands. Do everything you need to be safe. We love you guys, and we want you to be around to listen to metal for a long time.
And the quicker we get this curve down,
the quicker
we can get back to normal.
I haven't even rebooked my Disney trip yet. I'm still trying to figure all that out. And
man.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. But
you know, the thing is, like, and it's only been like a couple weeks. I know I'm moaning and stuff, but I miss the little things. I miss just like going into a restaurant to get some food. And I miss, I don't know, not freaking out when I'm at the grocery store because I'm like paranoid.
I know.
Now, you know?
And other people that were requesting longer weekends, well, you got it.
Yeah. I I don't think I ever want to do a staycation again. Like, if I ever have time off from work, I'm going to go do something.
That's right. You got to live, man. You got to go out there. And I'm just glad, you know, we weren't like on a cruise ship stuck. I read this article tell you about this lady who was stuck on a cruise ship for like 50, 60 days or something so far.
Yikes. Just,
oh my God. Crazy, man.
Yeah. Man.
But you know who's been prolific in creating during this quarantine?
Yeah, Mr. Devin Townsend.
Devin Townsend has been crazy busy. The first week or and a half, he did this quarantine project. So he just started writing songs and probably stuff he already had floating around. And he like was able to put something out like every day, which was crazy. And we're going to play something off of that, the quarantine project, in a few minutes. But he also has been putting out these podcasts on his YouTube page. The first one was about Ocean Machine, the creation and the time period of Ocean Machine. And then the second one that I listened to yesterday was about Strapping Young Lad City. So they're really cool. They're about 2 hours in length. He really goes into detail about every little aspect of around what was going on in his life around that time. The creation of the albums, then he would go into each song by itself and talk about each song. It's almost like a director's commentary for an album.
Huh, that's pretty cool.
He's going to keep on doing that too. But he's also going to be doing these live shows starting next Saturday. And the first one's already sold out. So he's doing these on this platform that has a limited amount of space. So, And I've missed out so far, but... which is pretty cool. He's doing that. Hopefully someday they'll be able to release them where you can just buy them to download the video. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Which I did. Right now it's a streaming. Yeah. But I did that with, I wanted to support Wolfheart. And they put out this thing where it was like $20. You get a full high definition concert they put on by themselves. And actually they released it today. So if you were signed up for it, they sent you the download link. It took forever to download like this 8 gigabyte file, you know?
Jeez. Yeah.
But they're also like a whole Q&A segment they have. There's all these bonus things too. So if there's a band out there that you really support and they're going to be on tour soon, go look at their website or their social media, see what they're doing, see how you can support them. If you can at this time, if you don't have the money, please support yourself first, but if you have anything extra and you want to support one of your favorite bands, please do so.
Yeah, my intention, as soon as I can get back to work, is to start helping out some of those bands and buy some merch. Also to kind of treat myself, because I feel like I deserve a treat after going through the lockdown. But
we watched a little bit of the Wolfheart tonight. It's really cool looking. They had to tone it down. Comparatively, what they wanted to plan, they wanted like a full, you know, video setup, but they had to use a lot of, since you can only have 10 people in a location at the same time, so they had to really tone it down.
Yeah.
There's a lot of static shots, but there's a couple guys on movable, you know, moving cameras around and stuff like that. Sounds really good. Looks really amazing. So I'm happy to support them, you know?
Yeah.
I should have the autographed album coming soon, because it comes out as we're recording. It's out in stores and on streaming tomorrow.
Oh, cool.
The new Wolfheart. So, yeah. Check it out. Please do.
So the album comes out tomorrow.
The full album comes out tomorrow, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the new, Nightwish comes out, tomorrow. I guess tomorrow is tonight.
That's right. I have only heard a couple songs. What do you think of it so far?
I mean, I like the single. The first one. I'm not about the second one.
I don't like this. You know what I didn't like about the single? Okay, it's the staccato of Floor's singing along with the guitar riff. It's the same. You know what I mean? It's sort of...
It's a little repetitive, yeah.
Yeah, it just sort of brought me out. But I haven't heard the full album yet, so it might be better in context of the full album. We'll find out.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing it tonight. I mean, It's nice that they're going ahead with it, because I know that there are a lot of bands who've delayed their releases.
Yep.
So it's nice to have a little distraction.
New Testament came out last Friday.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Have you heard the New Testament yet?
I heard the one song we're going to be playing, but I haven't gotten the chance to listen to all of it. I've been so if you go to the metalpigeon.com right now, you see I put up a little article about a playlist I've built up, and I've been so immersed in creating that playlist, and just
it's pretty prolific.
All I want to listen to is like kind of uplifting power metal right now, and that's all the playlist is.
And your playlist, I've been listening to it the past couple of days. So, if you want to listen to a bunch of uplifting, positive power metal, go search out the Metal Pigeon on Spotify, and we can link to that on our website too. But check it out. There's lots of great uplifting music in there. Inspired me so much. I think we're going to do an episode like that.
Yeah,
we're doing a lot of episodes tonight, and then we have a couple more planned, but we're going to be doing that since we're home. We have nothing better to do. We're just going to do a bunch of episodes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're going to do an uplifting, positive power metal episode. And I know Hammerfall will wind up on there. Freedom Call will wind up on there.
Yeah.
So if you guys have any suggestions too, msrcast@gmail.com or reach out to us on social media at Metal Geeks or at the Metal Pigeon on all the social medias.
Yeah, if you want to add a song to the playlist, just tweet me or something. Let me know, and I'll add it on there. It's a community project, so
very cool. Yep. Let's get into the first song, or actually, let's talk about the song we heard. We've already played it.
Yeah, I mean, it was typical Maniac Devin.
It is Maniac Devin.
A little intense, yeah.
So that's a song that was, I think, started around the time of Impasse, because it features 6-6 Samus on it, who's turned out to be one of my favorite drummers. He's amazing.
Oh, that guy, the crazy guy, yeah.
The crazy dude, yeah, the YouTuber guy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this song, it's bonkers. It's crazy off the wall, really heavy. But there's definitely songs that he's done through this quarantine project that are really mellow, really atmospheric, definitely different than what we played earlier. And they do that the Venga Boys cover, the We Like to Party song, that every time I hear it just reminds me of the old Six Flags commercials, because that's what they use in the commercials. Remember the old guy was like the bald old guy? Yeah.
I remember the exact commercial.
Yep. So the version that Devin does features Annika and Shay from Casualties of Cool. It's interesting.
Oh, cool.
And he released a version first, and then he's like, hey, I want you guys to, all my fans out there, record a piece of a video to make a fan-based video. So he did that. And he made a version of that video with just people submitting stuff. And our friend Bozarth got in there.
Oh,
our,
nice.
Our friend
nice.
Will. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, there was another band doing something like that too, crowdsourcing a video.
Oh, really?
Together, yeah. I can't remember who. What I've been really into is Elise Reed and Olaf Mork from Amaranth have been doing these living room concerts from this Airbnb they've been staying in. They're at their studio in, I think, Denmark or something.
Oh, really?
They're stuck there. They're away from home, and they're just working on their new album. But they've been doing these concerts where they just kind of like do some covers and do like acoustic versions of Amaranth songs. And
that's cool.
Pretty fun. Yeah.
Ocean of the Slumber did that a few weeks ago, where they did an acoustic show.
I saw that actually. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot. It's very interesting that it took something like this for bands to realize this is a viable thing for them to do, to interact with their fans and to keep their fans happy. I hope some of this stuff does continue.
I do too. I enjoy watching it as a distraction. I have to be in the mood for it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think too much of it also makes me I miss just being at a show. Yeah. It's, for me, it's been longer than you, because you went in January to shows.
I went in March. The last show I went to was like March 9th. It was the Devin show. And the weekend before that was Overkill and Exhorter.
Yeah, see, I haven't been to a show since Amorphis last year.
No.
So, yeah, no, seriously. Wow. So I am, like, dying. And so for me,
I'm wearing my Amorphis shirt right now.
Yeah,
hopefully that tour does not get postponed. I'm envisioning,
like, when the lockdown lifts, what's the first band I'm going to see? Probably is going to be a local Houston band. Mm-hmm. It's going to be, like, a local show. I'll be happy to be there. So I can't wait. Whoever the band is.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So we talked about our first song. Let's talk about this. This is look this segue. We've already talked about Wolfheart.
Yeah.
So we're the if you haven't figured out the premise of this episode is quarantine metal. So all the songs either are have alone in the title or isolation. They talk about being alone. It's just something I wanted to do. Spent a little time researching and picking out some songs.
Yeah.
So the first set that we're going to get into starts off with Wolfheart. The song is called Isolation. Get it? See what I did there? And it's from the album Winterborn, one of their earlier albums. So I hope you guys enjoy this. We have a wide variety of different bands to play tonight. And we will see you guys in a few minutes. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Welcome back to MSR Cast 235.
You know how I'm feeling isolation. Right now? I'm feeling pretty isolated right now.
I'm pretty isolated, yeah. That was Sepultura with Duh Isolation.
That's right.
And
no, just Isolation, not Duh, comma, Isolation.
From Quadra. That was the new record, right?
That is a new record. The new record is actually quite tasty. It's really good.
Yeah, because I remember the last time we were recording, I said I was going to listen to it then. That was like the eve of all the chaos starting with the
That's correct, it was.
The stuff, and I forgot all about it, so I still haven't really listened to it. So, yeah, another thing I have to do.
It's pretty good. I enjoyed them. I thought they were supposed to be here soon, too. I don't remember what happened. That maybe it did happen right before everything shut down. I don't remember.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
I think they were touring with, like, Sacred Reich or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And before Sepultura, we heard some old-school Armored Saint, of course, from Raising Fear. The song was called Isolation.
Isolation.
And before that was Wolfheart from Winterborn, Isolation.
Yeah.
Do you catch a theme here? Do you hear what we're doing?
Great as an artistic device, but not great in reality, I think.
What's that? I'm sorry.
I think it's great as an artistic device, but not great in reality.
Isolation?
Yeah.
Why is that?
I think it's just experiencing a little bit of what it's like, you know? Mm-hmm. And again, I'm not like in solitary confinement or anything, right. You know, like I can go outside and do stuff, but it mentally,
yeah.
Like I can relate to these songs a little bit more in this headspace.
Yeah.
And weirdly enough, I'm recoiling at that idea of me relating to it, you know? So it's a weird time.
Have you been going outside exercising or walking or doing anything like that just for your...
Yeah, I've been doing that as much as possible. Me too. Yeah.
I'm trying to get 10,000 steps in every day, but that's a lot. It's hard. I've been walking like 2 miles every morning.
That's good, yeah. There's people who are like saying like, you know, you shouldn't walk outside because you can catch floating particles of the virus, and it's like, yeah, you could also get struck by lightning too, like, yeah. What are you going to just stay cooped up in your house the entire day, you know?
Well, if you're not around anybody, when I go to the local track, which is in our neighborhood, it's just a little small park, when I go in the morning, there's not that many people there, and people that are there are just walking around the track, you know?
Yeah.
And it takes like 5 laps to do 1 mile.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, and if there's somebody there, I just make sure I'm distanced enough from them.
Right.
It's fine. I think so.
Yeah.
All right. What do we have next?
Oceans of Slumber.
That's right.
Who are speaking to us about solitude.
We have broken into solitude now.
Yeah.
Of course, this is their legendary cover of the Candlemass classic song, Solitude, from the Blue EP, which makes me sad that we're not going to be able to see Candlemass next weekend.
I know. I was just thinking about that.
I know. Such sadness. But it'll get better. I know it will.
Yeah.
We'll be able to see all these bands. Except what Riot Act, right? One of the guitar players that was from that band, who was in the original Riot, passed away.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
From the virus, actually.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm going to have to pull that up real quick while you're... Talks amongst yourself. Talk about something real quick, and I'll look that up real quick.
Well, I had a panicky situation yesterday because I was telling you earlier that I had my... the battery, my internal battery inside my laptop started to expand, and I had to deal with that yesterday. So that was the first time I ever opened up a laptop.
Wow.
And done some sort of weird surgery on there to get that battery out. And they don't make these things intuitive. Like, I really thought, and then this battery is all puffed up, and I thought it was going to explode in my hand. So it was a bit of a tense moment. The fact that my laptop actually works without the battery is kind of a miracle right now.
That's crazy.
And the fact that, like, have you had problems streaming stuff lately? Because everyone's streaming at the same time?
Yeah, a lot.
So
my internet has gone down a couple times. It went down on me last week during a work meeting. I was like, this is the worst time for you to go down right now.
Yeah, like last week I was having trouble. This week it's been more calm, but I have had problems streaming stuff on my laptop. And I somehow found an old Cat5 cable, which I apparently still had stashed away. And I'm using wired Ethernet for the first time in like a decade.
Are you really?
Yeah. And it's so much better. It's like we would have dropped like 6 times by now if we were on Wi-Fi.
Well, I'm on Wi-Fi. It seems to be okay now, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the guitar player who passed away, his name is Lou Caveras. He was from the original version of Riot. He played on the Rock City album, on the very first album, and performed with the current lineup many times. It's sad to hear that, you know, people are dying from this. It's sad to hear anybody's dying from this, but people that we've grew up listening to, and totally not related to metal or anything, but... Adam Schlesinger passed away from the COVID-19 virus. He was in a
Fountains of Wayne.
I only really know of him because he produced the Monkees on the last couple of albums, and he wrote a couple songs for them. And he did the soundtrack for That Thing You Do, which is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah,
and you know, he wrote all that catchy music on that. And the only Fountains of Wayne song that I ever really heard was that Stacy's Mom song.
Right,
but
yeah.
After he passed, I actually went back and listened to the album that song is on. Really good. It's totally not what you expect.
They had a late 90s hit I remember called Radiation Vibe. It was on the radio.
I don't remember that song.
That was pretty good. I also remember him because he was part of that band Ivy with these two other people. I liked Ivy, so.
Yeah, he's a very... very great, prolific songwriter. He was known for that jangly sound, which is like old 60s style, like jangly guitar sound. And it's just sad.
Yeah.
Speaking of getting off metal real quick, the Monkees put out a live album last week, their very first live album. It's produced meticulously. It's so good, dude. I would give it a shot. You might really enjoy it. I've been one of the things I've been doing is putting on my headphones, my Bluetooth, popping stuff on Spotify, or on my phone, and playing on my electronic drum set to get a little bit of a workout. So I've jammed that new The Monkees live album. I've jammed Slayer. I've been jamming Halloween. Just playing along with it, man. It's so much fun.
It's the Mike and Mickey Show.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. I added it. Okay.
It's the the production on it is it's amazing. It sounds really, really good.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, but back to the metal.
yeah.
So we're going to get into Ocean of the Slumber Eye. We haven't done that yet, have we? We've been talking.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right, yeah.
So let's get into that. We have a couple more songs during this segment, and we'll be right back.
Thank you. Everyone has left you. You know it's always been that way. Those frantic years, the people you've neglected. Now the time has come to pay your loan. No one here is dancing to your tune.
Is this a dream or is it real?
Sometimes the dream becomes reality.
But I don't know what to feel.
Then I will guide you through this haze.
But who are you? Why are you here?
I am you and you are all
I
of us.
I can't speak my mind in clear.
Then I will free you from this haze.
welcome back to episode number 235 of MSR Cast. This has been your quarantine episode. We just got finished listening to something from Arion, or Arion, however you want to pronounce it. This is from the Human Equation album. The song was called Day 2, Isolation. Totally fits. This is the first album that I've really heard from Arion that got me into it completely. I was just hooked after hearing this album. And this song features James LaBrie, Michael Ackerfeldt, Eric Clayton, Magnus Ekwall, Irene Jansen, and Heather Finley. So it's a pretty good lineup there.
Irene Jansen, relation to Thor Jansen.
Yeah, her sister. That's correct.
Yeah.
Arion has used Floor and Irene a lot. Speaking of Arion, let's talk about this real quick. I got the Into the Electric Castle Live and Other Tales. Phenomenal live album, dude. I couldn't wait for my copy to come in. So I actually rented it on Vimeo last weekend. Paid the extra money to rent the digital streaming version of it.
Right.
It's such an amazing show. So it's the whole entirety of Into the Electric Castle. But at the end, they come back and they do a song from a lot of his different projects. So there's stuff from Ambion. There's something from his solo album. There's something from they had Fish from Marillion, so they actually did a Marillion song on here. And then, of course, they end everything with Songs of the Ocean. It's such a phenomenal album. Go check it out. It's actually all streaming on Spotify and all those good places. Shores of India is on here. Twisted Coil, which is such a good song. It's a phenomenal album. And watching the video, the live version of it, really brings out the narrative story that's really involved in it. Really does help bring all that to the forefront. You know, we're listening to the album, you have to really look around and read through the lyrics and all that at the same time. But watching it live like this, everybody's playing a character. It's really phenomenal.
And the stage setting was insane for this.
The stage setting is amazing.
Yeah.
And they actually have John Delancey, who played Q in Star Trek, doing he was the narrator.
Nice.
So yeah, there's people in the audience in a Star Trek uniform. So I know Arian's he's a big Star Trek nerd. So a Trekkie, cool, as they say.
Yeah.
I'm not so much, but that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. And what do we have before Arian?
Suicidal Tendencies Alone.
Phenomenal. I love Lights, Camera, Revolution. This is one of my favorite albums of all time.
That was one of the first albums I think I had on of theirs.
Yeah.
I think I had it on cassette.
Me too.
Yeah.
I used to, this is 1990. This was my sophomore, this is making me sound old. This was my sophomore year of high school. I remember this tape. I remember No Prayer for the Dying. And I remember Impact is Imminent from Exodus being like my top three go-to, and Painkiller during this time.
Yeah.
They're the first albums that I got when I joined up with, what was the name of that? You can buy 10 cassettes for a penny, whatever. Something, Columbia House, is that what it was?
Columbia House, yeah.
Yeah, those are some of my first albums that I ever got on cassette were these. And man, I used to play the hell out of this album.
Yeah.
But Alone, it's such a great song. That period of Suicidal Tendencies career is different. You know what I mean? It was more progressively done. It was more thrashy than some of the earlier punkier stuff. And then,
yeah,
and then the later punkier stuff, you know, but I think this is one of my favorite albums by them, hands down. And Alone is just one of my favorite songs. And
yeah,
it totally fits in this episode tonight.
Yeah, that was like not it was like their that was like their major label period, I think.
Yes,
right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
I saw them maybe 2 or 3 years later live. They did a tour and they played this weird. They played in an old grocery store off of Bissonnette. I don't even remember the name of this place, but they played with Infectious Grooves. So he did like he did like this double set, and this is when like Trujillo was still in the band and all this kind of stuff. Amazing show.
Yeah.
Man.
That grocery store, was that the same place you saw Iron Maiden?
It was not.
Okay.
This is the only show I had ever seen there. Where I saw Iron Maiden, there wasn't a grocery. It might have been a grocery store. I don't remember, but I think we've talked about it. It was like the weirdest setup. You walked in the front door, and there was like 50 feet, and there was a stage. And then next to the stage, there was like this huge area of just open space. Didn't make any damn sense. It's like they needed to move, take the stage and move it sideways. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. I remember seeing Cathedral at that club. I think Iron Maiden, when I saw them, was on the Virtual 11 tour. And I think Fear Factory opened up for them. It was Fear Factory. Just an awkward show. But
hoping that all our venues in Houston make it through this intact.
I hope so.
Get some of that congressional money that they can qualify for.
Yeah. Maybe get some audio upgrades. Not calling anybody out. Maybe soundproof some ceiling somewhere, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But, and before Suicidal Tendencies, we had Oceans of Slumber from their Blue EP, their killer cover of Solitude. So what do we have coming up next, man?
Well, maybe my favorite Dawkins song.
Is it really?
Yeah.
It's one top three, maybe.
Tooth and Nail, that entire album. I love that entire album.
So I told you we're going to be running the gamut of all kinds of music tonight.
Yeah.
We're about to get into some rockin' Dawkins.
Yeah, I mean, Dawkins, more time has gone on, the more I've come to go back and revisit them and appreciate them.
I've always appreciated the band for their talent in the guitar work and everything. It wasn't typical. I mean, it was, but it wasn't typical hair metal. You know what I mean?
No, that's the thing. I think those first three, maybe even four, but definitely the first three Dawkins albums, they have way more grit and substance than people give it credit for.
For sure.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bands around, a lot of bands that got lumped into hair metal.
Yeah.
From that time period that I never really considered to be really hair metal. Dawkins, I mean, Skid Row could be another band looking that way. Dangerous Toys they sung about, you know, sex and stuff a lot, but you know,
right, yeah. I mean, Rat, to a certain,
I mean, when I think about hair metal, I really think about like Slaughter and Poison and that type of,
you know, the stuff where the glitz came first and the metal was an afterthought.
Glam. Yeah. Speaking of hair metal, that, I've been watching some documentaries. If you have Amazon Prime, there's a lot of documentaries about different bands. I watched the Death documentary, which is really cool. And I watched this one recently about the Rainbow, and it was done the past couple of years. The Rainbow Bar and Grill, of course, iconic location on Sunset Boulevard in Hollywood. And it talked a lot about all the bands that came up around that time. It started, you know, back in the 60s, talking about the what's the name of the club that's right next door to it? They owned by the same guy.
Whiskey-A-Go-Go.
Like the Doors and all these different bands playing there. And then when like the 80s hit, the glam metal scene like came from that one little city block in Hollywood, basically, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a pretty cool documentary. They interview a lot of people, those venues, the Rainbow and the Whiskey, have been in that family for generations now. And the son, the grandson, is now running everything.
Yeah.
Pretty cool documentary. They interview a lot of stuff about Lemmy there. They interview Mickey Dolenz from the Monkees, cause like that's where the Hollywood Vampires started.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
They showed like the actual spot where like him and like John Lennon and Alice Cooper would hang out and, you know, just hang out and get drunk, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And the Viper Room was like right across from my memory. Cause I went there in 1999 when I was like really into this Guns N' Roses obsession.
Oh, really?
when they were like out of the limelight and Axl Rose was a recluse, I was just like obsessed with them. So I was in California that summer for a little bit, and I went to LA and I took a tour. I just basically went to Sunset Strip because I wanted to see all these historic
sites. Were you on those double-decker buses things?
No. I mean, I was just like with my aunt and uncle. They had a rental car, and nice. I told them to drop me off here on Sunset Strip. It was a Sunday, so everything was closed in the afternoon. I took pictures of the whiskey. The rainbow right across the street was the Viper Room. Yeah. There was the not Hollywood Video, but the
Tower Records.
Tower Records.
I've been in that Tower Records before.
Yeah, and Axl Rose.
Yeah,
you know, the Tower Video that's next to it. Axl Rose used to be the manager there, the night manager. Was he?
I didn't know that.
So the interesting story about the rainbow you just brought up was I went up to the rainbow. Mm-hmm. I was like, 16 or something? I went up there. There was a guy outside cleaning up or moving some stuff around. And I basically just told him, I was like, hey, I know I'm underage and you guys are closed, but I just want to see the booth where they filmed the part in November Rain.
Right.
And he looked at me for a second and he's like, all right, yeah, come on in.
Wow.
And he showed, I couldn't take any pictures, yeah. He told me, but he showed me the exact booth.
It's the Slash. Round. It's Slash's booth now.
Yeah, circular booth where they, and he's like, yeah, they filmed it here and over there, that's the bar, and Lemmy sits there every night. And he told me, and he pointed to a booth in the back, and he's like, Led Zeppelin would sit back there. And he gave me this little tour for like 5 minutes.
Wow.
And I mean, I'll never forget that. And I remember I went next door to the whiskey and they were all closed, but I walked around it and kind of just like gazed up, and there was like, it kind of looked like an office, you know, building up top and windows open and stuff. I went around soaking it in. I walked around the Viper Room and it was still painted black and everything. And I don't know.
I've made a decision. Next time I go to LA for anything, I'm making a point to go to the Rainbow to eat a burger and have a drink. I'm going to have me a Lemmy to celebrate him there.
Yeah. I mean, I wish I was of age to drink, but it was still a cool experience because
that's cool.
I think I got to see something or got to have a little. I'm not sure who the guy was, but he was definitely young. So maybe it was that guy, the family.
With a big dude with like a beard?
No, he was just like a young, normal looking guy, black hair. But
go watch the documentary. Do you have Amazon Prime?
No, not right now.
Okay,
I want to see this documentary though.
Yeah, go watch. Go sign up for a free whatever. There's a lot of great stuff on there right now that you could be watching. There's a I watched this. The Woman in Metal documentary, which you think it would be like sexist or anything, but it's definitely not. It really focused a lot on Floor Johnson, had Annika in it. It had a bunch of different female vocalists talking about their careers and stuff like that. And it's really good. I think you'd enjoy that. There's a lot of good documentary, rock and metal documentaries on Amazon Prime. The next one I'm watching is Rat Skates, the original drummer from Overkill. Had the documentary on there. I haven't seen it yet, but it's on my list.
You've seen the Orphanland documentary on YouTube, right?
No.
You should check that out. It's like some German company did a documentary. It's an hour long, and it's just about them living in Israel, and they're just hanging out there and stuff. It's an interesting documentary.
Really? I'm going to add that to my watch list right now.
Yeah, I forgot. I just type in Orphanland documentary. Should pop up.
Very cool. If you guys have any recommendations of things like that we should be watching during our quarantine, let us know. Of course, you know, reach out to us social media or msrcast@gmail.com. We want to know what you guys have been watching too. You've been watching a lot of live concert videos, documentaries, porn. We want to know what you've been watching.
Is it amazing that Pornhub has like better internet service than the freaking unemployment websites?
It does. They offer was it like a month of free, like VIP, whatever they call their like free streaming? All you got to do is like sign in, so create an account and sign in with like free for everybody. It's like stay home. It's like their stay home account.
The level of technology is unbelievable for a website like that. And like all these unemployment websites are just crashing all the time. That's brilliant.
Is it all as one, the Orphanland documentary?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
It's like an hour, and I'll have to figure it out.
Yeah, if you can send me the direct link, I want to make sure I'm watching the right one.
Yeah.
And we can put that in our show notes, too, if we remember. We usually don't remember.
Yeah, Always One, Orphanland documentary. It's 57 minutes.
Yep, that's the one I found. Yep. It came up right on the first. Just type in Orphanland documentary, and it's like the first one that popped up.
Yeah.
Very cool. I'm going to actually watch that tomorrow.
You know what I've been – speaking of Orphanland, actually, I've been watching a lot of walking tour videos on YouTube.
I know you talk about that.
They are amazingly therapeutic. And there's a guy who is just exclusively in Japan. I just watched one where it's in Jaffa, Israel, or Jaffa, Tel Aviv, Israel.
Yeah.
And it's just a guy, no comments, no talking, just ambient sound and him walking around with a stabilizer and 4K video.
Nice.
And he just gives you a tour of the city. He just goes everywhere. And it's like I've seen videos of this done in Turkey, in Iran, in the United States.
Yeah.
And they're so therapeutic to watch.
I've seen stuff like, you know, Disney stuff and like, when we were going to Vegas a couple of years ago, we watched videos of that type of thing.
Yeah.
You know, it is cool. I need to branch out and look at the send me a link to that. I want to check it out.
It might not be for everyone, but for me, it puts me at peace and it reminds me of better times and stuff. So,
yeah. We haven't played docking yet. You ready to get into docking? What's your, we segued so far away. I was going to ask you, what are your other favorite docking songs?
Into the Fire is my favorite docking song. But this one, well, next to this one, I would say Alone Again is my favorite song.
I'm still going to say I absolutely love Dream Warriors.
Yeah, it is great.
I have I still have the 7-inch single I got of that.
Yeah, I like everything on Tooth and Nail. Just Got Lucky was a good song too.
It's a great song too.
Yeah.
Wow.
Into the Fire has that kind of cutting guitar that I love, though, that 80s kind of.
That's right.
Rock and roll guitar, yeah.
Hell yeah, man. Let's get into it. This is Dokken, Alone Again. We'll be right back.
And I'm unmasked. The master of the game had won. He let the violence should be known, killing those who stand in his path. To unfold. The hissing of the cobra's tongue, the sound of filler ripping flesh, 40,000 feet from the sky. My terror has controlled my life, except my only weakness known. I need to get this out from my head. I'll fight some evil sorcerers and rip my mind from this torture and meet the fallen angel at his realm. I'll fight until the end is near to rip my mind's unholy fear. Destination lies in my dreams. Set me free! We'll be right back.
Welcome back to MSR Cast 235. And I'm feeling alone because Amorphis was the last metal show I went to. I didn't realize at the time they would be the last one I went to.
I don't think they played the song, though, did they?
They did not, no.
They played something off this album, if I remember correctly.
Did they?
I believe. I wouldn't remember they did, but, you know, that doesn't mean
shit. That was a great show. I'll remember that show more for Annika than for Amorphis, but Amorphis was great, too. So
maybe they didn't play anything off this album.
I think so, yeah.
But this is from AM Universum. I think it's the first Amorphis album my wife actually got into. We had this fight for years. She's a big Posse fan. Because this was the album that she got into them with, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I was like, yeah, I liked him back then too. But once Tomi got into the band and proved what he could do, I was on Team Tomi all the way, man.
Yeah, I like both of them. I can see why you'd be attached to the first one you got into, though. Yeah. The first thing.
But not me. I thought Tomi was like the perfect choice as a replacement because he can do the beautiful harmonies and stuff like that with his clean vocals, and then like the brutalness of his harsh vocals are just amazing, man.
Yeah.
One of my favorite vocalists of all time right now.
Yeah, I don't think that I really this wasn't the album that had the big single on there, right?
Which single are you thinking of? What song are you
thinking
of?
House of Sleep.
No, that's much later.
Yeah, okay. Oh, this had Shatters Within. Okay, that was a song I liked. Yeah.
Yeah. This is 2001.
Yeah.
So
yeah, this was an album that I didn't really listen to when it came out. It took me a couple years to go back. And
oh, really?
Yeah, because Amorphis, I was into Amorphis with Tales was the first album I heard. And then I just sort of like the later 90s albums, I just sort of hemmed and hawed on. And I thought they were kind of not extreme anymore. And I was really concerned about that back then. So then I remember that day when I saw the video for House of Sleep, I was like, oh, that's interesting. I didn't realize they had a new singer and they were doing this kind of thing. But by then I had already heard Sentenced and I was a big Sentenced fan.
Yeah.
And as a result, it made me go back and look at the last two Amorphis records and go, man, I like this guy. This guy's doing great stuff. So that's what kind of renewed my interest in them.
I can see that. I think, I don't know, the first album I really got into, I want to say it was Elegy, but it was maybe Tuonela. I got sent the promo probably back in the day, and I was just amazed by them. I've been a big fan ever since, and I saw it for years and years and years. I would never be able to see them live, and then in the past 3 or 4 years, we've seen them like 3 or 4 times, you know?
Yeah.
Once a year, I'm okay. Seeing Amorphis once a year is good with me.
Yeah. I remember that. I think it was Josh who told me to buy the Tales from a Thousand Lakes, where former co-host of the show.
That's right. Papa Josh.
He worked at a record store, and
yeah.
I used to go in there all the time. I'm sure he got sick of me, but I would go in there all the time and like ask him, talk to him about metal and stuff. I would just buy stuff based on the cover. And I remember one day I was like, so what do you think I should be buying? And he's like, and he gave me he walked around and showed me all this stuff. And that was one of the ones he showed me. So I bought it just based on his recommendation. And I was like, okay. Yeah. That was a lot of my experience back then.
I used to love doing that because back in the 90s, like that, you could go to a store and just look at an album cover by just looking at an album cover. I'm like, this looks really interesting. I want to check this out. And you could actually bring it to them that, hey, can you open this up and let me play it?
Right, yeah.
That's what Spotify is for me now. You know, it's the modern day music store, basically, you know?
Yeah.
But it's so much easier.
Yeah. It's easier, it's convenient.
I remember going into Warehouse Music, hearing about this band called Iced Earth, and then seeing the album cover for The Dark Saga. I'm like, holy crap,
yeah.
This is Spawn. This is shit that I'm into. Can you guys play this for me? And I heard like the first two songs and I bought it.
Yeah. I bought Iced Earth was my Dark Saga was my first Iced Earth album.
Me too.
I bought it because it was the only thing they had in Best Buy.
Yeah.
And when I would always go to Best Buy and just flip through the Iron Maiden section, I would always see Iced Earth down there. Mm. And it took me like a couple of times of seeing it before I was kind of like, this is obviously a metal band. I'm going to buy this and check it out. And I was a big fan ever since.
I became hardcore into them after that album. I mean, I went back and bought everything previously and just became a huge fan of them.
Yeah. I remember my first thought when I was listening to it at home was like, this is like the bridge band between Metallica and Iron Maiden, you know, that I always wanted.
Sure.
Yeah.
Speaking of Metallica, something that Devin Townsend said on the Ocean Machine album, he was trying to get that Metallica Black album sound. So what he did is he had the drummer, you know, drummer did everything. They sampled the one of the snare hits from Sad But True when it goes dot, 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 like the third or fourth snare hit. They sampled that one hit, brought it underneath all the other drum. So he's like, anytime you listen to this album, when you hear the snare hits on any of our songs, think about Lars, because that's where we stole that sound from.
That's nice, like, yeah.
Well, at least it wasn't the Tom hits that he had later on, you know?
Right, yeah.
I mean, no matter what you say about Metallica, the Black album was an iconic album. It was a sonically well-produced album.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's not easy to take a song, you know, something like that, that's, I mean, it was so well produced, sonically beautifully done. Take that to a radio or an AM radio station and still have it sound good, you know what I mean? By the compression and all that. Still good.
Yeah. I must have watched the documentary, The Year and a Half in the Life of Metallica.
I had that, like, I had the cassette times. Tape, the cassette box set or that.
The VHS, I wore it out. Man,
I was such a big fan of them back in the day. It's just, I don't know, something happened where just, you know, one day, you know what it was? I've mentioned it before. They did that movie, Some Kind of Monster, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there is a segment in there where Lars is trying to sell a painting at some auction or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And this was right around the time, the late 90s, or what was it? Like, no, not late 90s, but early 2000s, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
When Napster was starting to hit and all this kind of stuff, and Lars is like bitching and moaning, complaining that his painting only sold for $1 million. I was like, all right, fuck you, dude. You're like, you know, the whole band, you've ruined the whole band for me now, because I can't relate to that. They became from a metal band that I could relate to something as like, you know, all you care about is money now. You know what I mean? Just brought me to a grinding halt about being a fan.
Yeah. And for me, like, because I would pay attention to the interview so much, I started realizing, I was like, that influence of him hanging out with the guys in Oasis and the guys in U2, it rubbed off a little bit too much. And
yeah,
he can do whatever he wants to with his money, but it's hard for us to, relate is, you know?
Yeah.
Doesn't mean he's wrong to do it, but it's definitely hard to relate. So
yeah.
They shouldn't have put that in the documentary. It's the lesson there.
That was the beginning of the end for them.
Yeah.
For me, at least. I mean, I know. I mean, if I hear a song every once in a while now, I'm like, okay, I still remember why I liked them back in the day and why that's a good song. But I do not mentally go search out to hear Metallica anymore. You know what I mean?
In the past, like, decade, and or I would say half decade, he's been coming around to being more endearing again, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Lars directly, like, where it's, like, on social media and stuff. Okay. The other day he posted something about how he was just drumming. He's like, I'm just here practicing, getting ready for shows. It's like,
he needs to practice.
Yeah.
he's not that great of a drummer.
No, he never was.
No, but it didn't matter back then. You're like, oh, this is great.
Yeah. Well, that was something charming about Metallica, is that they were never the greatest of musicians, you know? It was
always a little sloppy, a little rough. Garage bandy.
Yeah.
But the production of it is what did it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, kids live, they weren't phenomenal, but they were who they were, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I always wish that they would be a little more precision-oriented live, because I think it would make the songs more powerful.
You want Lars to play the same drum beat for the same song every time?
Not going to happen. But it's not even Lars. I think that sometimes James is a little sloppy in rhythm. Yeah. I think that Kirk is really sloppy on lead. And I think a song like Creeping Death deserves precision to make sure it has the impact you want it to have, you know? So, but what can you do?
Segue and talk about Metallica for a while. That's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
We don't do that very often.
Yeah.
We must be really bored.
It's a strange time.
Do you want to get into the next music?
Yes.
Go ahead and let's talk about Aeonian Sorrow, who we played on the recently on the show, because I've gotten into them a crazy amount recently. Melodic funeral doom metal it's not the best thing mentally to listen to right now, but
yeah.
I wanted to play something. This is from the EP that came out the beginning of this year in January, called A Life Without. And we played a song from this before, but this is a song called My Solitude. And it just fits well with the theme of the evening. So let's get into some Aeonian Sorrow. I hope I'm saying that correct. Aeonian?
Yeah, I think so.
Sure. This is from the EP called A Life Without, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Oh, stars will shine.
We'll be right back.
Hey, my friend, welcome back to the show. Before we move on to talk about what we just heard, we need to retroactively go back and talk about a band we forgot to mention earlier in the show. Between Dokken and Amorphous, we played Testament. Alone in the Dark, one of my favorite Testament songs of all time. And they did an album called First Strike, Still Deadly, which is a remake album, basically. And like they re-recorded all these old songs that needed to be re-recorded just sonically. I think it's one of my favorite Testament albums of all time.
It's actually one of the rare, but it's one of the occasions where a re-recording album worked, like from front to back. It was really good.
And it wasn't just Chuck Billy. They had Zetro on this album too.
Yeah.
Which is because Zetro was the original vocalist when they were before Testament, when they were called The Legacy.
Yeah.
The demo. But it's really, I really enjoy this song. It's always been one of my favorite songs live. But yeah, those first couple of albums definitely need a remaster in the baddest way.
Yeah.
This album, though, First Strike Still Deadly, came out in 2001. So it's almost 20 years old now.
Yeah.
So the remake of their older stuff is now almost 20 years old. That's scary. But yeah, Zetro was on this album, Chuck Billy, and Tempesta was on drums on this during this time. Just great.
What's crazy is that it was 20 years from the time First Strike Still Deadly came out to from the original recordings. Around like 20 years or so, probably less, but then it'd be 20 years till now. And you think about how, like, if they recorded First Strike Still Deadly, the entire, like every song over again and released it today, it wouldn't actually sound that much better than First Strike Still Deadly.
Right.
So the leap in technology is sort of slowed a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. Cause the first album, the Legacy album, came out in 1987. So when this came out in 2001, so yeah, I mean, 1980, wow. We're getting close to, man, I feel old now. I remember when this album came out, you know?
Yeah.
Man. So this is, the album's 33 years old now.
Wow. Yeah.
It's so hard to believe. All right, but going back to if you haven't heard First Strike Still Deadly, go check it out. And check out the new album, Titans of Creation. It's really, really good. We're going to play something, I think, maybe in the next episode, I believe.
Yeah.
But yeah. Just as a precursor, it's not my favorite Testament album. It's good. It's great, but there's just some things that aren't great about it. And we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
That was just a little segue or a spoiler alert, if you would, into our next episode. I think that after their comeback, after Formation of Damnation, I think Dark Roots Reverse is my favorite.
Yeah.
But going back into what we've just listened to now, where are we at? We started everything off with Aeonian Sorrow. Mm-hmm. After that, go with me here. I wanted to play a band that doesn't get enough love in the Doom community. It's a band from the Texas area, from Dallas, called Solitude Eternus, right? Absolutely love this band. And I wanted to play something that fit into this episode. The song title doesn't really fit, but it's from the album called Alone.
Yeah.
Let's see. Alone was, it's actually their last studio release, their last release completely, from 2006. So, God, I wish they'd put something out new, man. I would really love to hear something new from these guys.
And Metalum says they're split up, so.
I know they are.
Yeah, I don't know.
Robert Lowe is the vocalist of Solitude Eternus. You might recognize him from his stint in Candlemass.
Yeah.
I remember I got to see him before he moved away from Houston, from the Texas area. He did this little gig at this ice house that I was hanging out with some friends of ours, and I knew they were going to be there. So I was like, hey, let's go hang out here. We've been there a couple times. And he did this career retrospective in it, and he was playing with Andrew Atwood. It's the first time I ever met him from Scourge and Hellstar. And he was playing guitar with him, and Robert Lowe, you don't want to say Rob Lowe because that's totally somebody different,
right,
was doing songs from his career. He was doing cover songs like Black Sabbath, but he was doing Solitude Eternus stuff. He was doing Candlemass stuff. It was a killer little show, and there was maybe like 10 to 12 people watching him.
Wow.
The people there was like maybe 5 people there that knew who the fuck he was.
Right.
It was so strange. It was so awkward. He was playing on this little little stage in the corner where they used to do like karaoke. You know what I mean?
Huh.
It was just so awkward. It was so cool though.
Right.
It was like a very, very cool experience. And I remember also working, we got Solitude Eternus to play this Bang Your Head Fest that I was involved with. Did you go to that?
No, I've heard about it though.
It was an amazing show. I was involved with James Rivera to help put this together. I'm trying to pull up just all the band that we got to play this fest. I'm trying to remember it.
Year was this one?
I'm trying to pull it up. Talk about something real quick while I look this up, please, sir.
Well, the next song we played was "The Gathering Alone," which is a great song.
It is.
So this is the last album that she was on, I think, Annika, before she left, which is also kind of a down note. This is a podcast full of downers.
Right. I mean, but it's a great song, though. It's. So it was August 25th of 2007, Bang Your Head USA 2. Hellstar played, Solitude Eternus played, Hallows Eve played. We had, who else did we have play? I believe Omen played the show.
Wow, jeez.
We had, what's the guys from King's X? His Doug Pinnick, his like solo show. And we was jamming with the guys from like Galactic Cowboys. It was a off the wall show. It was really fun, really cool. It was the Meridian, if you remember that place.
Yeah, I remember the Meridian.
It was such a cool show. It was such. What's the word I'm looking for? It was an honor to be involved with it. You know what I mean? Is be one of the sponsors and help book some of the bands and. It was in a lot of local bands. We had like 2 stages going on, a lot of local bands like Funeral Rites played and all these different local bands played. It was a lot of fun. A lot of cool show. That was the only time I ever met Will Bozars, our friend of the show, because he actually came down for that show.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Yeah. To see Solitude, I think. He was a huge fan.
I saw a few metal festivals there. The one that always sticks in my mind is like the Texas Death Fest. I think that same year it was Carcass and Samael headlined.
Oh yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I didn't go to that.
Yeah, that was great.
There was like 150 bands playing.
Yeah, it started at like 12 or something like that, 12 afternoon.
Yeah, it was crazy. That's... All right. While I stop reminiscing about that show, let's talk about so we talked about The Gathering, we talked about Solitude Eternus. If you haven't checked those guys out, please check them out. One of my favorite Doom bands of all time. And then Aeonian Sorrow started everything off. So it leads us down to our last couple of songs here, right?
Yeah.
So in the meantime, let's do a little housekeeping. First of all, thank you for tuning in to this episode. We wanted to bring you a little metal enjoyment into your life as you are stuck at home. If you're stuck around people you don't want to be around for a while, put this on some headphones and just jam out to some killer quarantine metal. Of course, you can find us on the internet at msrcast.com, metalgeekspodcast.com. You can find us on all the social medias at MSRcast as well as at Metal Geeks. And you can find us on Spotify and Stitcher and Apple Music and all the places you would find, any place you would download your favorite podcast. We're on there. And then they can find my co-host here
at www.themetalpigeon.com and Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at The Metal Pigeon.
Very cool. And as always, we want to say during this time, keep safe, wash your hands, don't go out if you don't have to go out. Just be safe right now. Stay home, watch a lot of concerts, watch a lot of movies, play a lot of video games. Just be safe out there.
Yeah. Yeah, try to watch stuff that makes you happy, enjoy.
Be happy during this time. That's just going to help you out.
Don't feel bad if you're not baking bread or any of the other shit you're seeing on Instagram.
I'm not doing that. Are you doing that?
No. Just so absurd.
Wow. we're going to get into we're going to get into two more songs here. Last one. One of them is Opeth, and it's the Isolation Years from Ghost Reveries. I think it's a perfect closeout.
Love that song.
Yeah, it's a great song. It's a perfect closer to this episode. But before we get to that, we're going to get into a band called Explorer with two X's because one X is not metal enough.
that's not their song.
That's not their style. They're I don't really know them that well, but they're a band from New Jersey. This is a cover song they did of One is the Loneliest Number. Of course, it's a perfect. And then I couldn't find a lot of covers of this song in metal. It's right. One of my favorite Harry Nilsson songs of all time. And I thought this was a Beatles song for years and years and years. I thought it was the Beatles, but it's not. It's Harry Nilsson originally covered it or did it. I think it was covered maybe by the Grassroots or another band like that. And sort of popularized it, but yeah, I always thought it was the Beatles for a long time. It is not. It's not John Lennon or anybody like that. Explorer from the album is called A Recipe for Power. It's One is the Loneliest Number. And then we're going to get into some Opeth. Thank you for tuning in. Do you have any last things you would like to say, sir?
Just hang in there. I mean, we'll get through this and,
we will,
you know, turn to the Positive Power Metal podcast if you need a pick me up.
That's right.
Yeah.
We have one more episode we're recording tonight that's all new music, so look forward to that soon, too. We are going to be pumping out some episodes while we're in quarantine. It's so easy now.
Yeah, I mean, it's different, but it's – I mean, I guess it's sort of like being at the MSRcast studios. I'm not there, but I can see the studio.
That's right. I don't have to wear pants for this one. All right, guys, so stay safe and keep it metal.
Keep it metal.
Numbers, it's the know. 'Cause one is the loneliest number that you'll ever do. Just no good anymore since you went away. Now I spend my time just making rhymes of yesterday.
Hey, Geekazoids. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.